And now this from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg and in our Bismarck studio, Sue Balcom.
Sue, thanks for joining us.
I am so happy to be here.
Sue Balcom with the Root Cellars Farm outside Mandan joins us once a week to talk about food for Main Street Eats. And this week, you sent some talking points called homemade shrubs or drinking vinegars. And I was immediately confused. I thought you were talking about gardening. Well, not until I got to vinegar, but...
Well,
what is a shrub?
You know, they say there's nothing new under the sun, and I totally believe it. It's kind of like being creative is taking an old idea and turning it over.
Right.
And so if you go into grocery stores nowadays or health food stores, you'll find something on the shelf called a drinking vinegar. They're really delightful. I mean, if you're into drinking a teaspoon of apple cider every day, I would suggest a drinking vinegar. However, I did a little research into making my own, which is kind of a bad habit I have, and I came across this book. I have all of these books on my bookshelf from back in the days, like when Reader's Digest was popular, and it's called Back to Basics. I have all these homesteading books, and in there I found a recipe for what is called a shrub, which is actually a drinking vinegar. The words that were used to describe what people drank back in the day when they had to go out and harvest and work really, really hard in the hot, dry sun are about as old as these recipes, like switchels, shrubs, and syllabubs. Hey, that actually rhymes.
Syllabubs.
And so think about this. They probably didn't drink coffee as much as we do, and they certainly didn't drink soda pop as much as we did because they didn't have it in the grocery stores. And so they had to make them themselves. And so a homemade shrub is actually a fermentation sort of process that involves vinegar, which is the fermented part of it, and sugar and fruit. And they're very, very easy to make. And I've actually made like ginger beer and kombucha and other things like that. And they're very good for, is it slaking your thirst? Is that a word?
Did I use that right?
Slaking.
See, these old words and these young kids are like, you can't use that word. I'm like, look it up. Look it up. Actually, I wrote a brochure one time and I said that we were foraging for food. And they're like, you can't use that word. And I'm like, yes, I can, because I learned what it meant because I looked it up. And so you need to look it up, too. However, back to shrubs and switchels. I love those. There were nicknames for things like haymaker's punch or ginger water or swizzy. And switchel actually originated in the Caribbean. And, of course, use apple cider vinegar, use a good quality vinegar, water, and then a sweetener, and then a flavoring. And that's where your fruit comes in. And so, like, if you used a cup of cherries, a cup of sugar, a cup of water, and a cup of vinegar, you can create these wonderful drinks that don't have a lot of stuff in that your body doesn't need. And then you can use your fruit meat. You know, don't throw anything away, but, you know, like let's say you cook your cherries up and you mash the juice out of them. You can use those cherries to put over a piece of cake or mix with your yogurt or something. So it's really dual duty right there if you're out there. Well, rhubarb would be a good example. Rhubarb should be coming up soon, and we'll talk about that at a later date, I'm sure. But rhubarb was something that my mom made a lot of these sorts of drinks out of.
Now, you just mix this stuff up and put it on the counter, or do you heat it up? Or, I mean, it's fermenting. Do you have to make it stop at some point?
Well, you know, if you leave them out on your counter, your apple cider vinegar will continue to ferment, actually form a mother on the top of it, which is kind of the symbiotic bacteria and yeasty stuff that actually make it vinegary.
Uh-huh.
But yes, if you just cook up your water and sugar and add your fruit and then you kind of strain that out and then put the vinegar in. You can drink that just the way it is there. I like to let things sit around on my counter and get fizzy.
Mm.
And that's what happens is things get fizzy, so be careful when you open them up, because one time my ginger beer went like all over the place. And I don't know if you remember, maybe not, but you'd be sitting around the dinner table and all of a sudden, boom. And we're like, oh, one of the pop bottles blew its cap off.
Well, how long is it good?
I think vinegar has a lot of preservation properties in it. So it pretty much until it gets too bitter. You know, vinegar sometimes will continue to eat the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
The mother will continue to eat the sugar out of a concoction like this. So I wouldn't leave it too long. You'll find that they're really tasty. And you can also mix them, like, with liquor for fancy cocktails.
That help you be a little bit less hungover, too, because there's some health benefits to drinking these. You've said sugar a couple of times, and I have a very, very loose understanding of how fermentation works. But, like, the yeast is eating the sugar. Does that mean that ultimately what you're drinking doesn't really have that much sugar in it, or does it just, like, get recycled, I guess, is the yeast like putting that sugar back in just a different form?
Right. It more of the alcohol.
Okay.
More of the alcohol and the fizz comes up. Because, you know, if you've ever made fermented tea, which is kombucha, and I don't even know if I'm saying that right, kombucha?
Kombucha,
it depends
Yeah,
it depends on what side of the state you live on. So, but when you make that, of course, you've got a sweetened tea. Mm-hmm. And then you're introducing the vinegar concept, which is the mother, would be where vinegar comes from. Vinegar is so easy to make. It kind of is it's already built into the fruit, like when you make apple cider vinegar, all it takes is your scrappy apple parts from your pie or whatever you're doing, and it does this itself. But what activates it is that sugar. And so the longer you let it ferment, the more vinegary it will be. So you have to kind of taste it once in a while to make sure that it's not gone bad. But it's never really bad, because you can use it for cooking or cleaning your toilet, because vinegar is an acid.
Yeah, you just go ahead and wash the windows with it.
Right,
yeah.
There you go. And then they would smell fragrant, like cherries or apples or rhubarb.
But aren't
right?
you also making alcohol? I mean, ginger beer is a...
Well, I think that beer back in those days when those recipes were first kind of discovered is a loose, it's loose term, you know, like root beer.
No, not high alcohol content.
Right, right.
A trace, maybe.
Right, just maybe. Well, my husband's convinced when I drink it, I get a little tipsy. But I just debate that.
Is
to
there
no
a difference
end.
Between
just listen to her? Just
regular
listen to
Sue
her.
And tipsy Sue.
You know, can you imagine? No, I don't know. So you know, the beer is made with yeast and hops and all that kind of good stuff. So I would say that there's a point where it becomes more alcohol than what you would like, but it's not done the way beer is, and so it doesn't have a good taste. That
okay.
You probably want to discard that. But ginger beer, oh my gosh, fresh ginger root is something I absolutely love. I love to cook with it. I love to put it in tea. But ginger beer, and I'll put a recipe on my website for ginger beer, because that stuff is amazing. But like I said, mine fermented to a point where you had to open every bottle over the sink, because half of it would go out in the fizz, and then you could drink the other half.
All right. Well, cheers to Sue Balcom and Main Street Eats.
So try some old-fashioned drinking this summer. Yes.
Thanks for joining us, Sue.
Thank you.